News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. On the way, see Packer fans shove a ball player that I guess played for the Ravens, and he jumped into the stands because there was a Raven fan there. Then a Packer fan shoved him back onto the field.
They love to do that at Lambeau. Jump up there and you're an away player, you're getting pushed back out.
So there's some talk of like, hey, that's, you know, we've had this recent thing, interactions with the players and fans. Maybe it's not so cool. I know the guy was admonished immediately by a security guard for pushing back. Putting his hands on the player.
Yeah. Basically.
Now you leap into the stands. Maybe that's his prerogative. But
imagine if he was a state trooper in a Texas A&M game. What would have happened to him? Remember that?
Oh, I do remember that. The economy's improving. Is Trump getting any credit for that? That's also something we'll explore. And Bernie, the man on the left, might be right. In some of the things he's talking about, AI, I thought it was pretty interesting.
Bernie.
Try to get to some of that. Also, that audio, that video, I should say, that was actually taken by Leanna and her husband of a guy riding on a rim and three other tires up Airport Boulevard.
That was crazy.
Insane. I mean, kudos. It's on our Facebook page, FM Talk 106.5, our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. But it's like movie video. It's like out of a cinema or a news story that, I don't know.
I mean, the fact that it was Leanna herself who took that video and wasn't just sharing it from someone else, pretty spectacular.
I know.
And
she does a good job of sharing, you know, cool videos that were originated somewhere else.
If you haven't seen it, yeah, I don't check Facebook all that much, but I did over the Christmas weekend. And why don't we get Leanna in here to kind of talk about just for a second, because, you know, it's dangerous sometimes traveling out during the holiday season on those roads. I will say I had to make a run Christmas night up here to the studio and from Cottage Hill to here. Christmas night at about 8 p.m., it was like the drunk Daytona 500. I mean, things were crazy on the way over here.
Are you kidding me?
I was, you know, driving perfectly, I might add.
You always do.
Like I always do.
Yeah.
And people were just insane. I mean, they were flying around me and racing. And Christmas night, one of the most dangerous times to drive around.
I'll be darned. I would not have thought.
But Leanna, that video, first I thought was, well, she must have found this and shared it because this is too perfect a video. But it was westbound on Airport. Driver was in the fast lane, one rim. How'd you get there? What did you notice? Tell us all about this. Yeah, it's crazy. If you haven't seen it, check it out now.
Yes, definitely. So I work at the mall during the Christmas season. So my husband and I were trying to decide where to go eat dinner. And we decided to go to a restaurant you recommended.
Mm-hmm.
And so we turn on to Airport. We're both in separate cars because he met me up at work. And I'm sitting in the middle lane in front of where the station is on Airport westbound. And all of a sudden, this truck goes by me, and it's really loud. And it's like doing this weird shake. And the trunk at the back end looks really weird. So I pull off and get behind him to find out what's going on.
Yeah, you're an officer of the law. That sounds right.
Well, I'm nosy. I'm very, very nosy. And my husband followed me. And so the truck, like, kind of sped up. And then it seemed like the tire popped, or maybe it was already popped and just the rubber had come off it. Everything was flying out of the bed, off of the side. There were metal chunks. I had to, like,
bits of tire flying around.
Bits of tire. My husband and I get behind him, and it's an empty spot on Airport, and we try to stop people from, like, coming up on him because bits of everything was flying everywhere. And we came to a stop for a moment, and I thought, this is it. He's not going to go any further.
He's going to cash in here.
Mm-hmm. And my husband pulls out his camera and starts to film, and then he takes off again. So we follow him alongside, trying to stop people at intersections.
By the way, how loud was that, him riding on that rim?
It was so loud. I heard it over my radio when he came by me in the first place. That's what got my attention. It was like a screeching, screaming.
I don't even want to know what it sounds like for somebody to be on their rim only, going the speed limit or more. My God, that's got to be all kinds of racket.
At this moment, when we were behind him, around him, we weren't going fast. Mm-hmm. It looks like we were going fast.
Because he's on a rim. It looks like he's flying, but he wasn't going that fast.
It sounded like it, but we were going like 15, 20 miles an hour next to him, behind him. He ended up turning into the parking lot to the left, right past
Did he make it to Olive Garden? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he made it
way up
to right past McGregor. I thought he was going to like break down.
I'm glad he didn't take it. I'm glad he never visited the traffic circle.
Yes.
Did he use his blinker when he turned off the road?
No, I don't think his lights were working. In fact, you really couldn't see his license plate with the tailgate so messed up.
Oh, my goodness.
Because I called the cops to let them know what was going on. But I couldn't see the tag because it was so obscured by everything else. Plus, I couldn't get close enough because things were flying backwards. My husband was off to the front side of him, so it wasn't like hitting him, but I had to stay back because dust was everywhere, sparks were flying.
So you got behind him thinking that I don't want to be near this guy, and that turned out to be the most dangerous possible maneuver that you
Well, I was trying to stop people from running up on him too, because it wasn't that noticeable, I don't know.
Well, what's crazy is once you posted that on Facebook, mm-hmm. it immediately took off. And by the time I got around to it, which I think was just an hour or two afterwards, it already had hundreds of comments. And there
including
were people,
somebody who said that this guy hit him on the interstate.
Yes, with pictures.
Wow.
With picture
he said,
of
I have his wheel well or fender in
fender
in my
wheel well. Yeah. And apparently, from what I pieced together from the comments, the guy was headed north on 65.
Okay.
Hit somebody, hit the cement, spun, was going the opposite direction for a second, turned back around, went up to Dauphin, got back on 65 southbound.
Wow.
To get off on Airport, which is where I met him.
Man.
Where he had just gotten off the interstate.
That's a lot of driving to do after you've been in a major accident.
Yeah,
yes.
His mileage couldn't have been good.
Oh, no.
After losing that tire.
No.
I'm sure it wasn't. And you check the police blotter daily. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping we get some kind of an update today.
Well, I actually kind of talked to somebody that knew him.
Mm. Knew him?
Yes, the driver.
Knew the driver?
Yes.
You have identified the driver.
They were in the comments. No, I have not.
Okay.
They didn't tell me that part, but they said he made it home.
God.
Wow. That's
amazing. Made it home, and the family was showing him the video.
Oh.
And he's not embarrassed.
Wow. You know, speaking of not being embarrassed, in all those comments, some people tell on themselves. There was one person who commented and said, hey, I've done that before. I was drunk as a skunk.
Yes.
On Facebook. What in the world?
In the comments.
That is crazy. Well, I'm
the
glad
comments are crazy.
I'm glad you're safe.
This story's got so much to it. The guy makes it home, and then when he gets home, his family's like saying, hey, man, you're kind of famous. Check out this video. So your video was already posted,
mm-hmm.
and he watched it, or they watched it with him, or what?
I guess they showed it to him.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
I'd show it to him, but he'd have trouble looking at it. You know, I'd probably have to throw a few jabs in there. That's just, completely unacceptable.
Yeah, I agree.
He could have hurt somebody obviously. So bad. And from what I understand, he doesn't care.
Well, okay. He's going to care if the end of the story has got to do with police action against him because this is, like Dalton said, it's completely unacceptable. Was this Christmas night?
It was.
It wouldn't have been because they were going out to eat.
Oh, yeah. it was Friday night.
Friday night.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, it was Friday night.
Well, great job getting that video.
Thank you.
And not to bore people with, you know, all of our traveling this weekend, but just on our way back from Valdosta yesterday, had two instances. One, on the westbound, so we're going eastbound, obviously, coming back to Mobile, and most of that trip is on I-10.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a big traffic jam on the westbound side. In the median, there was a car that looked like it had spun out, and it was in the median here. About 10 cop cars around it, guns drawn.
Ooh.
As we were moving through. And we were moving quickly enough that I turned to my wife and I go, were there guns drawn? Yeah, there were guns drawn.
Ooh.
And then another cop going that way about 10 miles later, and I went, he's a little late. He's missing the shootout down there. But then almost similar kind of, just a tire blowout. We were behind yesterday, 18-wheeler, had a blowout. Its tire was in the slow lane, and there was a mess of cars in front of us, all still moving at a pretty good rate of speed. And I saw finally the 18-wheeler get off to the side of the road when he was able. Nobody wrecked afterwards, which was great. I don't know, that tire was still back there, so hopefully nothing happened there. But then a little further down, another vehicle, a car, pulls off to the side of the road. Driver hops out, and he did that where you know someone just had the craziest moment of their life. So they must have been right behind the 18-wheeler when his tire blew, because he hopped out of that driver's side as soon as he pulled over this car down the road, and head and hands, like, completely freaking out. So he must have been right behind when that tire blew eastbound on 10 yesterday. Well, it was pretty wild.
That's, I mean, when a tire blows out, a big 18-wheeler.
And you're right behind it?
Ooh.
Yeah, that's not a good time.
No.
Well, good stuff there, Leanna. That was an incredible video. If you haven't seen it, you need to. I was sharing that with everybody I saw this weekend.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure that the person that he hit, because I knew he probably hit somebody. I figured it would be a hit and run. I was hoping that they would see the video. We posted it once we got to the restaurant and started eating. Didn't even really edit it, just threw it up. And I'm glad that the guy that was hit did see it and is in contact, has the name of the person.
He does.
Yes. The family member that came in talking in the comments gave him info.
Wow. What an impactful video.
That was crazy.
I mean, it's an amazing video to watch. Now you've got all these tentacles where the guy that drove, that was originally in an accident, well, the man he hit, he commented, right?
Yeah.
He commented. They were all circling around this video.
And there were some,
including the principals, the guy that was driving, and the person he hit.
And there were some haters on the comment section, too, just like any, but
always
saying that, you know, the people that took the video, which we know would be Leanna and her husband, that they were the ones that were dangerous out there. And I know you guys took all precautions, but think without that video, you know, what would anyone have known?
No.
Right, or even believed us, because I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
You are the hero in this whole scenario. That was a great job, and, you know, to
it
the
was
haters.
Very interesting.
Yeah, that's
good
amazing
stuff. Yeah, and we're getting some texts too, as we kind of have a grab bag Monday morning. We have a lot to make up after missing Christmas Day and the day after. But Alabama of the Year, a lot of folks are wondering the latest on that. We're in the finals, and we will wrap this up tomorrow morning, giving you plenty of time to vote. But our final two, and right now one of the candidates here is running away with 2025's Alabamian of the Year. So the two finalists, and you might remember from last week, two finalists, the inflatable Fairhope protest penis lady, of course, from the No Kings protest, who was taken to the ground by Fairhope PD, has 85% of the vote, beating out the Mobile Beaver Removal, which somehow made it into the finals through listener voting. Vote now, fmtalk1065.com. The inflatable Fairhope protest appendage very well could be our 2025 Alabamian of the Year. And I have to be honest, I mean, I saw that coming, but I don't know how to feel about it.
There's not a darn thing we can do about it. It looks like it's a runaway vote. 821, Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
I love the... concession like it's a political race. Well, I guess in a way, it's not a political race, but a concession online this morning by Bucky Beaver.
Yeah, Bucky Beaver, one of our texters, who, of course, you know, you can tell by his name, he is a beaver. And he said, I want to congratulate the Fairhope penis grandma. He said it was a hard-fought contest, but now the voters have spoken for Alabamian of the Year. It seems that way.
I mean, 85%.
The inflatable protest lady running away with it right now. Haywood said the finalist for Alabamian of the Year makes me think we are in a South Park episode. I have to say, Haywood, I can't disagree. We've had some fun ones in the past. You know, the Bienville Square Squirrels, I believe, won Alabamian of the Year one year when there was much talk them and getting rid of them. But
well, you know, their appearance on Midday Mobile was,
that really put them over the top.
Yes, it did.
That interview.
That was like, you know, whoever their people are, they lined up that interview. I think that helped them.
That was a landmark moment in broadcast history there when the squirrel came on.
Yes, when squirrels can talk.
But, yeah. The voters have spoken, and it seems that I knew that she would be the heavy favorite, so it looks like she's winning. Texter here says, I'm confused. What happened with this wreck? Why did they leave the scene? Why did they drive on rim? Where was the police? Well, I mean, that would be a better question for them, but it was just a straight-up hit and run. And this driver, you know, ran into someone on 10 and then kept it moving on rim and with truck just beat to heck. And Leanna was fortunate enough to get the video. As far as the police, I have no idea how they weren't able to come across him, or hopefully maybe afterwards they've been able to make some inroads there, because, I mean, you've got to be punished for something like that. That is just absolutely insane.
I would think there's enough evidence out there as to who the guy is now with this, with the video being posted and going so viral, and conversations between the guy who was hit on the interstate and Leanna. And it seems to me that it's probably apparent who he is. Hopefully there's been an arrest, or will be soon.
Yeah, crazy. Absolutely crazy. Texter says, morning, enjoy your show. About the Mobile Lake, so you're talking Big Creek Lake, it being a water source, the Water Authority could consider it being a kayak-only lake. It seems they're pretty set in their decision that they want to just have the boat rentals out there. Did they say they were going to be those little paddle boats, like where you, I think, is that what they've decided to use, the where you have the...
I don't know.
Where you have the kind of, you know, pedal boat kind of thing.
I don't know that, I don't know. That doesn't sound right to me that that's what they've... Now, out at Langan Park, they got that dredging going on at the lake there.
Going kayaks on there.
That's going to be kayaks. Is that right?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah. Michael, we were talking about some fun games, board games and card games we played over the holiday. I mentioned that Hitster, which was really a fun kind of music game. He says, check out a game called Shock Potato. And Uncle got it for one of my daughters. It was a lot of fun. I'll have to check that out. And let's see. Oh, Kenny says, speaking of attorney law jargon, have y'all heard the Jolene Roxbury "Twas the Night Before Christmas" reading? He cracked me up. Kenny, yeah, Jolene had some really great holiday stuff and some really funny stuff there. By the way, we put that up on our podcast page too, so if you've missed any of the Jolene Roxbury Variety Hour, which is Saturdays at 4 p.m. and then Sunday mornings at 7 again, and on our podcast page, you can check it out there. 8:29, we will talk a little bit of Panini Senior Bowl.
Yeah, we've got that coming up.
Very near. We're a month out now from the Panini Senior Bowl, and three local athletes returning who have starred in college. Of course, you have Colin Lacey, you have Lee Hunter, and you have the Lawson from Alabama, former Deontay Lawson.
Two are still in the playoff.
Two are still moving it along, and then a lot of other players. So we'll talk with the executive director of the Panini Senior Bowl on the way next, right here on Mobile Mornings.
News, weather, traffic, and sports. You're listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig.
FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings on this Monday, the last Monday of 2025. And right now we'll head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing great. So, you know, we talk about it all the time, but often the best time to go out and get a deal at McConnell Automotive is at the end of the month. Well, we're at the end of the month and end of the year here, and you guys have a lot out there on the lot.
You know, that's what I was going to talk about. I mean, we need to get rid of some of this stuff. We got cars stacked up on top of cars. Got a great selection of used cars. And, I mean, it's a phenomenal selection of new cars over there. I mean, I can't believe General Motors opened the floodgates. We've got Yukons. We got Sierras. Don't forget, half-ton Sierras, 0%. And we're going to make a deal all the way through the first. So, y'all want a deal on a car, come by and see us or give us a call. If you got any questions at 251-476-4141. Looks like the rain's out of here, so we're going to have a little cold weather, but we'll crank that car up and get it nice and warm if you want to come look at it.
And we spent some time talking about, you know, holiday travel and how wild it can get out there, so accidents do happen. And if anyone, if their vehicle's a little banged up, they can bring it by McConnell because you guys have a great body shop.
That's right. Rachel and all the guys and the girls back there will take care of all your needs back there. You can call them at the same number, 251-476-4141.
All right. Thank you, Louie. We appreciate it.
Thank y'all. Come see us.
All right. That's Louie Ratta. Go find him. Go see him. McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Drew Fabianich is the executive director of the Panini Senior Bowl, and we get ready for the Senior Bowl about a month from right now.
Yeah, not that long from now. We'll be packing Hancock Whitney Stadium and watching all these guys who will be starring in the NFL next year if the future is anything like the past and present, because many of the guys that were out there last year making pretty good statement in the league this year as rookies. Drew, thanks for coming on with us again this morning.
Always a pleasure to be with you guys.
You know, I watched one of those quarterbacks who was in the game last year pretty closely yesterday as the New Orleans Saints took on my Tennessee Titans, a couple of really good rookie quarterbacks who teams in flux around them a little bit. But Tyler Shuck, man, he knows where to go with the ball. He gets rid of it quickly, and he's often very accurate. He's fun to watch.
Well, I think you got to give some credit to, you know, Kellen Moore and Doug Nussmeier for, you know, for coaching him up, because they're doing things that he's capable of doing and not trying to do things he can't. You know, he operates the line of scrimmage really well. And again, he's been really accurate, and they really hadn't, you know, asked him to do much out of the realm of what he's capable of, which I think is a good thing for most young quarterbacks.
It is, too. And I know, you know, watching Cam Ward so much this year, he's really started to play better as the run game has picked up around him, and they focused more on getting Tony Pollard the ball, who has done well these last few weeks. But yesterday, the Saints had a little bit of a run game. I know that helps a young quarterback especially out in a big way.
Well, yeah, when you can actually play action and actually hold linebackers, hold safeties, it helps a lot. Well, the other thing is they played pretty damn good defense yesterday, too. Yeah. I mean, you know, they're stepping up there, and, you know, and they're probably playing, you know, the best in their division right now. It's just too bad that, you know, it took this long to kind of get them to gel and everything else. And, you know, I thought they'd probably be about 8-8, you know, this year, and they're probably going to end up pretty close to that.
Mm-hmm.
So just give us a real thumbnail overview on Shuck. As New Orleans fans are listening to what you have to say, have they found their quarterback? Do you think that he can progress from here and find further success in the NFL?
You know, it's hard to tell on the sample size that small. You know, just because a lot of times once you start putting out the film and everything else, defensive coordinators start taking away what you do best and start making you go left-handed instead of working right-handed, as we used to say. So, you know, if it's 10 games and he's doing the same types of things, I'd say yes. You know, they have found somebody. But, you know, with a short sample size the way it is, I mean, a small sample size, it's hard to say they got their guy. You know, it's just hard. I mean, Dak Prescott's been as a rookie and, you know, one flipping 12, I mean, I think it was 13 games.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, then you know you got a guy. But, you know, with a short, like I said, such a short time to see what he can do, and coordinators are going to start taking away what he does best.
Yep. Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, Prescott, of course, another Senior Bowl legend who played down here. And it'll be interesting to see as we get ready for the Senior Bowl next month who that next guy will be to take that step in the NFL. There's plenty of options because the invites, the accepted invites rolling in before Christmas and after Christmas. I know a big one for Bama fans, LT Overton. Well, they got two good bits of LT Overton news this week. It looks like he'll be ready for the game against Indiana in a couple of days, but he's also coming down here to Mobile.
Yeah, and, you know, I think there's some questions about his health, and, you know, he got cleared. And once he got clear, then he was all in on, you know, accepting the invite here, and he was ready to go. But, you know, there were some questions about some health issues that got cleared up, and that's why he got cleared to play in the Rose Bowl, too.
Yeah, I know he missed the Georgia game. That all had to do with that same health issue, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Good stuff. Well, what are your overall thoughts on bowl games? It just seems this year that outside of the CFP, and they've on paper some appetizing games, like usually you would think Penn State and Clemson would be a great game, but I've had trouble getting really fired up for a lot of these bowl games this year, and I don't really know why, Drew.
Well, I think it's probably because there's a lot of kids that don't play in the bowl games. Hmm. You know, you walk into the game, I think Penn State, I don't think but one offensive lineman, you know, played in the game that had started that, you know, over the course of the year.
Hmm.
You know, that's hard to put together, you know, a cohesive unit, which they did a good job, and, you know, their interim staff did a great job. You know, but when you look across the board, I mean, there's not a lot of guys that are still playing, and they're just saying, hey, I'm done, and, you know, this really doesn't help me, and I'm just going to go get prepared for the draft and move on. And, you know, it's a lot of them don't come back after Christmas. Mm. A lot of them don't. And some of them leave before that, especially the ones that have graduated already.
Yeah, I'm not too sure about it. Even though it's a famous venue, you know, you get these bowl games. So I'm watching the Clemson-Penn State game, and it's pretty unwatchable. It's like if they were playing on my street, I don't think I'd look out the window. But anyway, so I'm watching this game, and I'm thinking, man, they're dropping the ball. It's so cold. And so yeah. They're at Yankee Stadium, Drew, and then they make the announcement, hey, coming up next, the Fenway Park Bowl. I'm thinking, that's 150 miles north. This is just, you know, some of these cold weather venues for bowl games. I know New York City is an exciting place. Playing in Yankee Stadium might have its lure, but it doesn't lead to better games.
Not at 20 degrees, it doesn't.
No.
I mean, again, I mean, just watching that, I mean, just the Buffalo game yesterday. I mean, pouring rain, cold as all get out. And, you know, you could tell in the wide that, you know, hey, it looks like it's good. But when it got close up, it was miserable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't throw the ball. I mean,
yeah.
I'd rather play in the snow than I'd play in the rain.
Right.
And, you know, there's a time where, you know, the elements are great, a great part of the game. But, you know, when it gets in the way of just even pushing the ball down the field or throwing it, I mean, I think you take away, you know, what makes this game great is you can run or pass.
Yeah, so, saw a bit of that in the NFL games yesterday, too, with Philly and Buffalo. It was really coming down in that game.
That's what I was saying, yeah. I mean, that was miserable. The ball was heavy. You can't keep it dry. I mean, it's hard to throw. It's hard to grip. I mean, yeah, there's a place for weather, but not too many.
Well, I will say that of all of the bowl game days, Saturday has easily been the best to this point. You had that BYU-Georgia Tech game, which was a pretty close game, and then, of course, the Pop-Tarts. Some unimaginable things happened to the mascots in that game. As
well, we can imagine it now because it happens every year.
It does happen every year with BYU coming out on top of that ranked matchup. And even the LSU-Houston game, it was pretty entertaining all the way to the very end with Houston coming out on top. You had North Texas, San Diego State. How about that one? 49-47. So there have been some entertaining games, even if maybe some of the top players that we expected at the beginning of the year aren't necessarily there anymore.
Yeah, true. And I mean, it's good for the teams to get some extra practice in and get some of the younger guys some reps and just see what they have. But I mean, I'll give you the other one. You know, the Virginia game. I mean, what was it? 13-9?
13-7, like
yeah. Missouri,
yeah. And they're playing with their third quarterback, a true freshman. I mean, their offensive line, you know, has two starters that played in the year, couldn't run the ball. I mean, some of them are hard to watch. But, again, it's great for a team. It's great for them to stay together. It's great for them to get those extra reps in, those extra time, because it's like an extra spring ball when you actually get a good bowl game.
Hey, Drew, you got a couple of local players that are actually still vying for a title. They're going to be playing in the Panini Senior Bowl. Lee Hunter from Blunt, mm-hmm. of course, is going to line up for Texas Tech. They've still got a shot. And Deontay Lawson, also a Mobile Christian, I believe, mm-hmm. and he in Alabama. So these two guys, noted and known in these parts, and also still on one of the two of the eight teams left.
And by the way, Colin Lacey from Faith Academy led Louisville in receiving in their bowl game win over Toledo.
There you
the
go.
Other day. Yeah. He's coming down.
And has good return value. You know, Lawson's, you know, I think he's still, you know, coming back from that injury, and he seems to be getting better every week, I think, which will help him. You know, and they've got a shot to, you know, they've got a shot to win too. I mean, so does Texas Tech. I mean, Texas Tech Oregon game is going to be a big ball game. Really is. You know, Lee Hunter, I mean, he's not just a two gap big old nose tackle. He got a little bit of sexy touch to him. He got a little bit of athletic ability for a big man.
Yeah.
You know, and their front's really, you know, impactful. And Alabama's playing really good defense. Kane Womack's got them going. They're playing fast and physical now. I look forward to seeing what they're going to do and look forward to see what they're going to do down here, too.
Yeah, and Dan Lanning, you know, taking a little hint there with how well Lee Hunter's playing, a kid from Mobile. He came down because he's looking at Tank Jones. He's bringing him up there from St. Paul. So I imagine as he looks across the line of scrimmage, when they take each other on, he's like, man, I wish I had some of those boys from Texas Tech on this Oregon line.
Yeah,
they're pretty loaded on that Oregon defensive line, too. They really are. I mean, put it this way, they talk about Texas Tech spending money. Well, Oregon's been spending money for a long time.
Oregon's got the money.
The Oregon, Nike money.
Yeah, they Oregon doesn't visit the bank. They are the bank.
Well, what's kind of the process from here, Drew? I mean, we're a month out. You've got the invites sent. Many of them have been accepted. I know it's a big Senior Bowl week. We talk about the game, but you guys have events all throughout the week, including the parade and the party. So what's kind of your MO here from here on out? I know you'll be watching a lot of games on the way.
Well, we've got to actually kind of monitor these guys that are actually have accepted, but, you know, they're still playing in the playoffs and everything else because, you know, if they get injured, you know, they can't really come down here and participate. So we've got to monitor the roster as we have it. We're going to be adding some players and, you know, to where we're going to get to 140 at the end. And, you know, and hopefully that stays the way it is for, you know, quite a while. It's kind of monitoring the roster, holding the roster. You know, speaking with the players, speaking with the agents, getting everything organized, you know, for their onboarding and you know, just getting them ready for the week.
Are you doing the coaching staffs the same way as has been done here the last couple of years? Have a lot of the –
Yeah, it's called Coaching Up. It's an initiative from the league, from Troy Vincent. It's to get, you know, younger coaches exposed. It's to get the coordinators exposed as head coaches, position coaches bumped up to coordinators, you know, because the NFL, you know, the – unofficial NFL coaches convention is going to be here from now on. So I already hinted about that.
Oh, okay.
But they don't actually ever have a, you know, time to get together because in college, when you're out on the road, you run into a lot of other coaches, you form relationships with guys. That's how you network. And then there's a national coaches convention. So, you know, to get other jobs and to, you know, increase your value, you know, you have to build a network. Well, you know, they don't have a network. And there's only a certain amount of staffs that were getting a lot of attention, you know, because of the head coach, because of the tree, and they wanted to actually expand that to where, you know, some of the league officials and some of the owners got exposed to some of these younger coaches that may not be quite as, you know, name recognized because of the head coach. That's why the initiative came about.
So you say there, it's going to be unofficial. Unofficial convention. Okay.
Just like it used to be.
Yeah.
Because now the evenings are going to be free now, so coaches are going to get – they're going to have more participation because they stopped coming down here because all they were doing all night was interviewing players.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now they're going to interview players in the morning. They're going to have their evenings free. Now it's time to get together with your buddies, to network, to get to know other coaches, other staffs, you know, to spread your name, to again, just to network. And that's what this used to be. There were tons and tons of guys that got jobs down here.
Yep.
Because the thing is, when the NFL jobs open, I mean, they're closed by the time the combine – you know, goes and guess what? Everybody goes to the combine, but, you know, all the jobs are filled.
Yeah.
Well, this is the perfect time, you know, for them to get involved. And they're going to, because I've already, you know, talked to a lot of them, and they're thrilled to death to have it back the way it was.
Love it.
That's fantastic. So folks need to get their tickets and need to get them ASAP before time runs out. SeniorBowl.com, is that the best place to get it done?
Yes, it is. And get it done because it's going to be sold out again. Mm-hmm. So you better get your tickets now.
Hey, Drew, thanks for your time this morning. And we have about 19 more subjects we could have hit on, but we're out of time, so we'll talk again here real soon, okay?
All right, thank you.
Drew Fabianich, Executive Director of the Panini Senior Bowl. January, let's see, 33 days, 4 hours, and 40 minutes away, according to the SeniorBowl.com site. January 31st at Hancock Whitney. It's going to be a good one, so get your tickets now. And we'll wrap up Mobile Mornings on the way.
Have a traffic tip, or your own take on the news, text the guys at 251-343-0106 on Mobile Mornings.
Yeah, right off the heels of that conversation with Drew Fabianich, executive director of the Senior Bowl. A lot of football going on right now. Good time to get the Underdog app. I probably spent a little too much time on the Underdog app while around family this past week. But there's a lot of games going on, and football season's in full swing. Underdog, the best place to get in on all the action. Plus, it's still going on with Underdog Unwrapped. You'll unwrap tons of promos all throughout the holidays. They've got boosts, gimme picks, deal reveals, and even some surprises sprinkled in. So now is the best time to get in on the game. And playing is easy. It's really easy to set up your entries. Just choose whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats, like rushing yards, receptions, touchdowns, and more. You have some football tonight in the NFL, the Rams and Falcons in Atlanta, and then all those college bowl games coming up this week as well. So download the app. Once you make your entries, if you get them right, you could win up to 5,000 times your cash. It's the Underdog app. Once you download it, use promo code Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N, to score $75 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code Dalton. Underdog, make plays, win money. Must be 19-plus and present in Alabama. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/playing-get-terms. Underscore DFS underscore.html for details. Confirm with your play. Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
Dan and Dalton, Jeff Poor on the way.
Yeah, in hour one, he'll have State Representative Shane Stringer, also police chief, and they're on the lookout over there for up on 43 Criolla and Satsuma. Had someone shooting up some places, some cars crazy and buildings, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day.
Not real sure that Jaguar that he's driving around is his legally. Yeah.
And commentary from Stringer, he's pretty not pleased with how that went down. Also, Dale Jackson with WVNN joins Jeff in hour number two, and Paul DeMarco in hour number three on the Jeff Poor Show on the way.
Well, the economy is what it is. Now, some say that Scott Bessent and others have been talking it up, saying, look, we've got some pretty good numbers. We had some decent numbers come in early last week. But it doesn't seem like perception is joining up with
their reality. Now, is it reality? That's the question.
And, of course, every time there was between where the economy was under Biden and the tariffs, you're going to have pain points, and I think we're dealing with those right now. Reagan dealt with the same thing after Jimmy Carter was kind of a disaster in many ways, and most notably the economy was absolutely awful when he took. So after a while, you stop blaming the old guy and you heap it on the guy that you,
of course,
you voted in.
It's only fair. We do it to both sides.
Yeah. So anyway, there is we'll keep an eye on that. We'll keep an eye on does Trump begin to get the benefit of the doubt? And I think tax season might be a big time for him in terms of we're going to get these larger tax refunds, most of us, and that could be a shot in the arm to the perception of the Trump economy.
That's what Bessent has been preaching here these last couple
just
of
hang
weeks.
Hang on.
Yeah.
Hang on for April.
Meanwhile, Trump may be making a trip to Ukraine here soon, if you hear it from him, with trying to bring that peace deal and get it signed on the table. Cheese Wagon text line says 18-wheeler broken down eastbound Bayway between Causeway and then his text ended. So 18-wheeler broken down eastbound Bayway between Causeway and Daphne. So there you go. That's from Cheese Wagon. Martin, as far as our Alabamian of the Year, which right now, and we'll end voting tomorrow, but the inflatable Fairhope protest lady.
Grandma.
In the costume, in the penis costume, kind of running away with it right now. Beating Mobile Beaver Removal, which somehow made it into the finals as well. And Martin said, it's hard for me to get excited about the inflatable costume lady when I made snow sculptures of the same thing 45 years ago while in college in Texas. In other words, been there, done that. Another texter, wow, seriously? She's the leader so far? We have fallen off our axis.
A very ironic final two. Jeff Poor Show is on the way next.
It is, yeah.